Several years ago, I was asked to lead a little prayer service at a Catholic elementary school in San Francisco using today's gospel reading. It must have been around the same time of the year as now, and I remember asking the students why they thought Jesus would have healed Peter's mother-in-law. And I remember one little boy quickly raising his hand and suggesting maybe it was Super Bowl Sunday and they needed her to set up the party. You could see where his mind was, and I don't doubt a few of yours may be there as well. And while we may gather on a significant day in the sporting calendar of this country, if this story were sent on a significant day in the sporting calendar of ancient Israel, the last person who would tell us about it would be St. Mark. Mark's gospel, which we will hear throughout the Sundays of Ordinary Time in 2018, is the shortest of the gospels. And although it has been placed second after Matthew's gospel in the New Testament, it is likely that it was the first of the four canonical gospels to have been written. And today's passage, on this Super Bowl Sunday, is wonderfully illustrative of Mark's narrative style and the way he depicts the activity of Jesus and his disciples. There is no wasted movement in Mark's gospel. It can seem like one breathless sprint through Jesus' life and public ministry. In the course of the reading we hear today, Jesus leaves the synagogue, goes to Peter's house and cures his mother-in-law, and then cures all the people in the town who were sick or possessed by a demon. He silences any demon from revealing who he is, goes off in the morning to pray alone, gets tracked down by Peter and the others, and then says, let's go to all the nearby villages and preach and cure people, which Mark says he did throughout the whole of Galilee. All that in 10 verses. For those of you old enough to remember the television show Dragnet, Mark's narrative style would remind you of Sergeant Joe Friday's famous, just the facts, ma'am. There is no flourish, there is no embellishment. Mark presents us with a Jesus who, although he may have understood the purpose for which he came, he seems to feel he is running late in doing it. I've been told to keep this short today because Father Gillespie is going to come out later and ask you for money. So I'm going to suggest we look at just one sentence, which Mark inserts in the middle of this sprint, a sentence that again has no flourish nor embellishment, a sentence which simply tells us that rising very early before dawn, Jesus left and went off to a deserted place where he prayed. This sentence really doesn't stand out from the rest of the passage. Characteristically, Mark gives us just the facts, and he doesn't allow us to dwell there for very long. Indeed, in the very next sentence, we are told that Peter and the other disciples pursue Jesus, find him, and tell him that everyone is looking for you. To which Jesus responds, let's go. But despite Mark's rush to move his gospel along, we might take a moment this afternoon and acknowledge this sentence and what it says about everything else that is around it. There are other places in the gospels where we see Jesus go off, in most cases alone, in order to pray. And in many of those passages, this desire for a quiet place to pray comes either right before or right after some interaction with what the Gospels often call the crowd, or what Mark here will call the whole town and the whole of Galilee. I will admit that I am attracted to this one sentence for a variety of reasons, not least of which is because I am a raging introvert. And I know that if I had just spent an entire evening where the whole town was gathered at my door, I would have been running for deserted places as well. And I promise you, it would take more than one sentence to find me. But in the placement of this sentence by Mark, in the middle of all this activity, the location of this moment of solitude in a deserted place, between the whole town and the whole of Galilee, is, I would suggest, more than just another fact in Mark's breathless recounting of facts. For in placing that sentence and its facts where he does, Mark reveals what the Gospels together present as a fundamental structure to a life of discipleship. A structure created by the dynamic interplay of service and prayer, action and reflection, in which service leads to prayer and where prayer leads back to service. Therefore, although he seems to rush Jesus back into action, we should not suggest that Mark is presenting this moment of prayer in a deserted place as a break from apostolic activity. Rather, it is a necessary complement to it, and that service itself should be understood as a necessary complement to prayer. The Gospels, we must always remember, were written 30 to 60 years after the life of Christ. And while there are certainly passages within the Gospels that are clearly prescriptive, passages that tell us what we as Christians are expected to do, love your neighbor, go out into the whole world and proclaim the good news, do this in memory of me. So much of what is in the Gospel is really a guide based on 30 or more years of trying to follow Christ, of what trying to follow Christ has taught the people who were writing these stories. For the most part, the Gospels present the best advice of what those who first followed Christ thought might be helpful for anyone who wished to follow Christ after them. Therefore, what we see in Mark's Gospel, as we see elsewhere in the Gospels, is the voice of experience saying, you might try this. You might try to make time to be alone and pray, because then you might find the energy needed to face the whole town, whoever they are in your life. And having been of service to the whole town, then you might actually have something to pray about when you do find a moment to yourself. And hopefully, like Christ, through that dynamic interplay, you too might be able to say, this is the purpose for which I came. More than just telling us what happened, and more than telling us what we should do, the Gospels are often suggesting what might be helpful to the Christian trying to follow Christ. Helpful to know, helpful to try, helpful to think about, helpful to understand. That in the life of Christ is a model that might help us follow Christ at whatever pace is most comfortable to you. So while we run along with Mark this year of ordinary time, take note of those moments when Mark himself has Jesus slow down. Those are significant moments, and they might just be suggesting something worth taking a moment for us to think about ourselves.